Okay, when you think of America's friends in the world of spying, what country comes to mind? Britain, Canada, maybe Australia? Well, how about Poland? Yeah, Polish operatives have been spying for U.S. interests around the world in an intelligence partnership that goes back 3 decades. A new book explores this, and it includes a fascinating top-secret rescue account of Americans in Iraq. The book is From Warsaw with Love: Polish Spies, the CIA, and the Forging of an Unlikely Alliance. And the author is John Pomfret, who joins us. John, good to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott.
Now, you established early on in the book that the Poles have some really good spies. During the Cold War, when Poland was still communist, its agents actually stole a lot of industrial secrets from us, the U.S., yeah?
Exactly. Not only industrial secrets, they actually stole some of the family jewels in terms of an early iteration of American stealth technology. So very high-level military secrets as well.
Yeah. But then the Berlin Wall comes down after Reagan's famous speech about this in 1987.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
And then post-communist Poland wants to befriend the West and NATO, and specifically the United States. So, John, what is the broader affinity here?
So, first, there's a very strong cultural bond between Poland and the United States. I mean, there's 9 million Polish Americans. But there's also the reality that the CIA had known of Polish excellent tradecraft during the Cold War, and the CIA very much was committed to the possibility that once the Cold War ended, the Polish government wouldn't fire all their spies. They would actually just sort of change their hats, and instead of working for the Soviet Union, they'd begin working for us.
And it happens pretty quickly. Soon after the Iron Curtain falls, the CIA asks Polish intelligence for help in Iraq. Now, before we ask you to tell that story, how did Washington end up turning to Poland anyway for this project?
So Saddam Hussein invades Kuwait in August of 1990, and lots of countries have people in Baghdad and also in Kuwait that they need to get out quickly. And we have 6 officers, a couple of military officers, NSA communicators, and CIA officers that we need taken out of Iraq. And we asked the British, the French, and the Russians, even the Russians at the time, to help us. And they're too busy getting their own people out. So we asked the Poles, and it made sense to ask the Poles because at the time the Poles had thousands of workers in Iraq building sewage treatment plants and roads, et cetera. So if they wanted to embed intelligence officers, for example, in that group, it would be relatively easy. So we went to the Poles, and the Poles said yes.
And the Polish agent in charge of this mission, I mean, this is fascinating. He lands in Baghdad, tells the Americans to disguise themselves and pretend they're Polish, but then their Polish pronunciation is terrible. So new plan.
Right. So he brings in 6 Polish workers' overalls. He brings in also 6 fake Polish passports with 6 fake Polish names, which were written for an American pronunciation. So they were relatively easy Polish names to pronounce. But these Americans couldn't even pronounce those names. So he kind of makes the strategic decision to literally douse them with Johnny Walker Black so that they would look like drunken Eastern Europeans who could no longer speak.
Now, we have a little piece of sound from Fred Hart, one of the Americans captured in Iraq, talking to the podcast SOFREP.
He came back the next time we had our little meeting. You know, he had satchels full of Johnny Walker Red and whiskey and everything else. And he said, you know, you're going to keep this stuff on you. He said, I'm going to tell the Iraqis, y'all are just a bunch of drunk Polish construction workers.
Drunk Polish construction workers. John, how in the world did this possibly work?
Well, I mean, it was stage managed by this remarkable Warsaw Pact spy named Gromosław Chempinski, who had worked around the world against the United States. So he was really a consummate professional, a risk taker, but a fellow who didn't take crazy risks. And actually, one of the problems that they faced was as they were doing their research into which direction they would take these Americans out of Iraq, they concluded that there were several Polish-speaking Iraqi border guards, and they needed to avoid them. They determined that these Iraqi border guards were in the south of Iraq, but then as they moved north towards Turkey, they bumped into one of the Polish-speaking border guards. He'd obviously been redeployed.
But they get past this guy. Is this when they're, I mean, they bribed a lot of people along the way. How did they get past this guy?
Well, they basically hugged him and kissed him and declined an offer to have lunch. And the Americans were in the car kind of literally pretending to be drunk, but actually, you know, through their lidded eyelids, they were watching this whole thing unravel. And they're like, okay, we're sunk. We're done. But both Chempinski, the Polish spy, and a engineer who was working with him really were perfect at dealing with this guy and getting him, keeping him away from the car, and then ultimately allowing them to drive north towards Turkey.
Yeah, wow. So that's one big episode you write about in your book. Another one is when U.S. intelligence goes back to Poland for help after 9/11. The CIA sets up this secret prison in Poland for waterboarding and other enhanced interrogation techniques of people they capture in Afghanistan. They later destroy video evidence of this. And here's how some of that tape was described by journalist Jane Mayer, talking to PBS Frontline.
I was told if those videotapes had ever been seen, the reaction around the world would not have been survivable. So the CIA is in a panic.
The president of Poland denied publicly that there ever was this black site, but then the news leaked out. You reported on this for the Washington Post in 1995. When the news got out, did the Poles feel betrayed by Washington?
Yeah, they really felt that, you know, they were an incredibly loyal ally, and they'd worked for us and risked their lives for us around the world. And so they agreed, the president of Poland agreed when George W. Bush made the request after 9/11. And they agreed with the sense that, okay, if we're going to break Polish law, America's going to have our back because America's going to keep this secret. And then America leaked on it. And so the Poles were left very much holding the bag, sort of responsible for this. And they were really in a tizzy about it because they didn't really quite know. Because, as you said, the president of Poland had for years denied that Poland was involved in anything like this. And he basically has to backtrack and say, okay, yeah, what happened? But we didn't know what was going on inside that house.
Well, and so for the Poles you spoke to for this book, what do they take away from these chapters and others you write about in your book? Is it that if you are very eager as a country to cooperate with the CIA and Washington, beware?
Yeah, that's part of the sort of the lesson, if you will. And many Polish politicians have said in the future they're going to be far more reluctant to agree to a request by the CIA or the United States government for any type of secret operation, especially something that is borderline legal. But at the same time, if you look at a country like Poland, it's hard for them as a small country to say no when America comes asking. Mm. And so subsequent to the black site, the Poles have continued to spy on behalf of the United States around the world. They've conducted operations in Iran, looking at Iran's nuclear capabilities, for example. They remain very much a loyal ally, but clearly the situation with the black sites was, put it mildly, a black mark on the name of the United States.
Mm. Finally, John, you dug up a lot of this story when you were based in Warsaw in the 90s for the Washington Post. So why write a book now on this U.S.-Polish spy alliance?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that really interested me was that there's been a lot of talk in the United States about why should we have alliances and why are alliances important? And aren't alliances just a drag on us because we have to support all these countries around the world? And I think that this story shows very clearly that America is a superpower, not in spite of its alliances, but because of its friends. These nations around the world who are friendly to the United States do things for us that we can't do. I mean, in a period of time when we had no access to Pyongyang, no access to Cuba, no access to Iran, the Poles were in those countries looking out for our interests and doing things on our behalf. And that needs to be kind of noticed and credited, I think.
John Pomfret is a former foreign correspondent for the Washington Post, and his book is From Warsaw with Love: Polish Spies, the CIA, and the Forging of an Unlikely Alliance. And you can read an excerpt at our website, hereandnow.org. John, thanks very much.
Scott, thanks so much for having me.